No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Joe Cali provides a 4th of July update on the Josh Giddey Chicago Bulls contract situation. We'll talk a little bit about that and why AK and Eversley have had, I hate to say this, maybe a better offseason than I've been willing to give them credit for. We're going to talk about that, plus dive into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And start off with this update from Joe Cali. He provides this. He says, the Bulls and Josh Giddey are having good dialogue per source, but the Giddey camp is dug in on the Suggs contract, $30 million per. Let the posturing continue. Now, many people have asked about the Jalen Suggs contract, right? And that we've heard that basically since last offseason, since basically right when around the time Chicago Bulls traded for Josh Giddey, and the contract conversation started around that shortly after that, right? And the Jalen Suggs thing is a really good, you know, barrier for that. Josh Giddey is a player that's averaged more points, more rebounds, more assists. Now, Jalen Suggs is the better defender by far, and he's been on a playoff team, right? Like, the Orlando Magic are ascending team. He's ascended with that team, those type of things. But if every agent is going to use a point as a negotiation tactic, right? And so that's what you're looking at when it comes down to it. Overall, is that they're using the Jalen Suggs contract as potentially a place where Josh Giddey can use as his anchor point, right? Now, that's the starting price. And if the Bulls are actually negotiating, that means that price could eventually come down. Now, Jalen Suggs didn't play in nearly as many games as Josh Giddey. He only played in 35 games last year, where he averaged 16.2 points per game. But Josh Giddey scored more points, more rebounds, more assists than him, of course, because Josh Giddey played in more games. But even if you're looking at their for career, outside of the 1 year where Jalen Suggs was a almost 40% three-point shooter at 39.7%, that was the year right before he ended up signing his contract extension, Josh Giddey's been a better three-point shooter than him. He's better shooter overall from the field than Jalen Suggs as well on average for their career. So there are some things to look at when you're trying to break this all down on why they're so focused on Jalen Suggs kind of being the entry point for those conversations and contract talks. But this is a positive update from Joe Cali saying that, you know, they're having good dialogue. And, you know, that's what this is, right? And I know, like, I said it on yesterday's episode, the comment section backed that up. There are, of course, going to be people who look at this and say, oh, my God, but why are they doing this to Josh Giddey? Josh Giddey just needs to walk. We'll talk about the qualifying offer here in a second. But let's be clear. There's been one time, and that was the 2023-24 season where Jalen Suggs scored over 600 points in a season. And that was last year where he scored 943 points. Josh Giddey, if you look at over his career, At minimum, the least number of points that he ever scored was 674. That was his rookie year. His second year, 1,260 even. The year after that, 986. And last year, 1,022 points overall scored by Josh Giddey. Now, those aren't numbers that are crazy by any stretch of the imagination. But again, it just goes to show that if a player is using the Jalen Suggs contract as something to kind of harp it on, Josh Giddey has a case there. And that's just what we're here to talk about, is just the fact that he has a case to say that, all right, that's a nice point for a contract discussion points on it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Overall, like I've said many times before, I think this is going to end with Josh Giddey re-signing with the Chicago Bulls, but it was good to get another update. And Josh Giddey's seemingly letting his agent, handle it. Now, the question that a lot of people are asking, what is the chance that Josh Giddey takes the $11 million qualifying offer and plays on that? And here's what I'm going to say, and this is why the Bulls are playing this the way that they are, because there's little to no chance. I say that there's no chance, but in reality, is anything ever a complete 0% chance? So I'll say little to no chance. And the reason why is this. Josh Giddey is already a player who around the league, and I see all the Josh Giddey, it's reasonable people, right? I don't think I've seen anything that's like completely unreasonable, like from a standship standpoint, as far as comments on this. But let me tell you this, and we got to be real here. Josh Giddey is already a player who, the way that he was viewed around the league, got hurt by the way that the OKC Thunder thing happened. I want to be clear there. Like, the way that he was basically played off the court in that last series that he played with the OKC Thunder, it affected some things. Let's talk about also on top of the fact and things that were outside of Josh Giddey's control, he never played a role outside of his second year where he got to do more point guard things. And that's when, Shea missed some times. That's where he averaged 17 points, almost 8 rebounds, 6 assists. That's the baseline that I would want to see him do next year for the Bulls, which is a really good baseline. I just want to be clear there. But outside of that, like, he's never really gotten to play his role as just the primary point guard, right? And that's something that also has hurt his value around the league. And I think that people forget that we are a season removed from Josh Giddey being looked at as having no trade value around the league. Now, again, this is not to say what Josh Giddey's actual value on the court is, but I'm just saying perception does play a part. If Josh Giddey was to take the $11 million qualifying offer, and let's say at that point in time, the Bulls realize, hey, he's an unrestricted free agent, we're still going to start him, of course, because we have a chance. But like, if it gets to a point to where we got to prioritize Trae Young, or maybe using a Kobe and Okoro backcourt, that's going to hurt him a little bit more. If Josh Giddey wants a long-term security, that's going to have to come this offseason, either in signing an offer sheet or in making an extension with the Chicago Bulls. So the chances of signing the qualifying offer for those reasons is slim to none. Now, it would be the ultimate bet on himself to do so, but if Josh Giddey was to get injured, if the Bulls were to do what the Thunder did and not prioritize him, even though he is their best option at point guard, even if they were to do something like that, the market would be drastically hurt for Josh Giddey. Now, the benefit is a lot more teams are going to have cap space next season, so you have more teams that would willing to be taking a chance, for sure, right? But that is just a huge risk. And like I said before, in other contract situations, there are way more outcomes that hurt his trade value than realistic outcomes that help his contract value. It's a trade value, but his contract value, if you were to take the qualifying offer. And that's what you're seeing around the league, right? And that's why I think that both sides do want to still find a solution to this contract extension here to keep him here, because long-term money, it's the best bet. Now, I do think as this goes on, you're probably going to see Josh Giddey maybe sign more like a 3-year deal, and then that way he is betting on himself to get back out on the free agent market sooner and sign a new contract. But for people who are saying, just take the qualifying offer, in the NBA, especially modern, we just saw, like, how many Achilles injuries did we see in the playoffs, right? Like, every year, like, or Deron Holmes last year for Denver, who tore, that's another Achilles, but like, tore his Achilles like early into the season. So like, it's just so much risk nowadays. And while Josh Giddey has basically been a pretty healthy player over his NBA career, you look, the minimum number of games he played was his rookie year at 54. Other than that, it was 76, 80, 70 last season. But it's just always that chance. And when you have a chance to lock in some guaranteed money, typically players do that. But I'm not going to say that it's a zero chance. But for everybody who's bringing up, just sign the $11 million qualifying offer. That's probably why you're not seeing that. Now, if these talks reach a toxic place, whereas the Bulls are just completely undercutting him on what his demands are, then maybe you could see that. But it sounds like the Bulls are still making reasonable offers. It's just that there's something in the language or something on the money, something on somewhere, maybe it's the years, that there's a disconnect at right now. And the hope is that they can. Keep in mind, these restricted free agent situations sometimes go a month into free agency. So you could very well see that. And honestly, it benefits the Bulls the longer it goes because more teams are going to use their cap space. So just look out for that. But that's kind of the update we got on Josh Giddey. We'll see what happens there. But I said on the top of the show that I want to talk about the fact that, and I had this episode a little while ago where I talked about why the Bulls aren't going all in on win now moves, because they have so much left on this roster that needs to prove what it can be before you make some all in move, right? And then you're locked into something that you can't be. For example, like that's why the Jonathan Kuminga thing, I'm glad that it didn't materialize. If the Bulls were to extend Josh Giddey, trade for Jonathan Kuminga, which would have to be a sign or trade, so that's another contract you're locking yourself into. And then whether they extended Io or extended Kobe, you're locked into that team. That's your core. You're locking into a core that we don't even know for sure is a playoff core. And that's where the Bulls have shown some hesitation at. And that's where I'm going to give the Bulls credit at. I know people look at it, and that's because this front office has earned that reputation of it being laziness, but I think it's more so a sign of caution. The Bulls went so far in on a core of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Nikola Vucevic, and that core got you one playoff win, one playoff appearance. And when you are in a period of time where your cap sheet is clean, you have another year to evaluate this before you lock into too many players, and you already have to. Keep in mind, the Bulls already have to wait to extend Kobe White. He's not going to sign a contract extension. He's going to go through unrestricted free agency. Same thing with Io. And then you have already players in Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter. Their contracts are up at the end of the year. Nikola Vucevic's contract is up at the end of the year. Dalen Terry's contract is up at the end of the year. So when you already have a natural opportunity, when so many of your contracts come up at the end of the season, on top of a couple of players that you probably do want to keep, also are coming up at the end of the year, that gives you another opportunity to see, all right, bet, let's see if this core is really like that. And if they are like that, cool, we got the money to extend them, no problem. And then we can make the additions, because now we have seen enough from this core, and especially in a weaker East, this coming up. Somebody asked in the voicemail yesterday, is 2025-26 the right time to evaluate the Bulls? If I'm the players, I'm saying it is. If I'm their agents, absolutely, because the East is going to be weaker. And now you have your opportunity to make your move to be a playoff team. So I think that with so much up in air for the Bulls, this is why you're doing that. And I got to give AK credit for the patience, right? Now, if it does not pay off later, if this core is proven this year, and then next year you do another bunt and you're lazy, all right, then it's no more patience, right? But you acquired Isaac Okoro, who's a player you're hoping is going to be able to come into your roster, play more of his style, more of his game, and a decent contract. You re-up Trey Jones. We now know the details on Trey Jones' contract. $7.4 million the first year, $8 million the second year, $8.5 the third year. Really good balance on that contract. I would have liked the scaling contract. It is what it is there, right? And then you have now your players that are your unrestricted free agents coming up. Nikola Vucevic, Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, Kobe White, Io DeSumo, Javon Carter. All these guys are coming up on their contracts. Dalen Terry, restricted free agent next year, right? So you have a lot of latitude in what you can do with your roster going forward. And then you have players that are becoming expiring. Jalen Smith's expiring contract next year. So you have those things that you're set up. It could be that the Bulls are finally starting to show themselves, to have a little bit of foresight. And I know we're not used to this dumbass front office doing that, so it seems a little foreign, but it could be. And I'll say this, they got a lot that they still need to prove. But this roster has a lot that it needs to prove. We need to see how much of last season's splurge at the end of the season can actually be sustained for a season for this team. And that could be also why we're seeing them keep Nikola Vucevic. I already talked about that. Had a whole live stream on that. Do not be surprised if Vuce is not moved at the deadline. He's extended at the deadline. Don't shoot the messenger. So we'll see what this Bulls team ends up doing. But I'm looking and seeing what it looks like they're doing. And we shall see. We shall see. But with that said, it is Saturday, so that means it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald calling back after listening to you and Patrick Zanner talk about the job AK is doing right now. And I can say that as of, well, July 2nd, he hasn't done anything terrible. And I say that because he hasn't given out massive contracts to anyone. He hasn't let a guy like Trey Jones walk for nothing. And while we all have a problem with him, you know, trading back in the draft and not getting picked for a guy, that's assuming there was offers on the table for guys like Booch and Collins and Herter. But as of now, like I said, I haven't seen him make any terrible moves. Hopefully that continues. I hope he hasn't, you know, stopped looking for ways to make this team better. Because as they are, they're fighting for a chance to get a play-in. Because I don't see them being better than anyone in the division. Not even Indy without Miles Turner. I still think Indy has the advantage over them. So for now, let's hope that they continue to improve. The whole route for Anthony Simons and the second round pick, I'm not mad at, but like I said, how you make it work, how you get him his minutes, because he's not going to be in the starting lineup. You're not going to put Kobe White at the three spot. Giddey's a straight up point guard, and Simon's going to need his shots when he's on the court. When he's on the court, he has to be either the number one or the number two guy, and that's not going to be in the starting lineup. If he's going to come off the bench, then you got to move Ayo to the three. Trey Jones to the still going to be your point. And we all know Billy doesn't have a problem running a three-guard lineup. But then you got to ask yourself, where does that put a Coral? Sure, you're going to have him play the four, and you can have Jay Smith at the five. But it, once again, if this is just for the play-in, fine. But I just hope they can make a better move than that. Also, Patrick, the designer, saying, I really do hope you clip that line of her saying getting bent over and you play it right after the Stephen A. Smith says Zion Williams and porn stars. That'd be great.
Yeah, AK hasn't done anything terrible, but at the same time, he hasn't done anything great, right? And I think that's the thing where you see a lot of the impatience from Bulls fans, because
legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same game parlays, call your plays like a pro with live betting, or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything egregious, but he hasn't done anything spectacular either. Now, maybe the Noah Essien-Gay pick ends up being that spectacular pick. And it could be. But we won't know that for, what, 2, maybe 3 years? And so that's fine if that ends up being the case. Where the Bulls are at a time now, at a place now, where taking time is understandable. I know some Bulls fans aren't going to be reasonable with that, but it is understandable. We just got to see what this team is going to end up doing, right? But when you say things like the Bulls can't be better than without Turner and Halliburton, oh, no, I think the Bulls can be better than the Pacers. I think when you look at the East next year, the teams that I think that I see, right, and not to say that it's the end-all, be-all, but the teams that I see that are probably going to be competing for those top 6 seeds, Cleveland, definitely. New York is definitely going to be in there. Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta is probably going to be in there as well. Milwaukee, depending on how you view their additions. And Boston is still going to be a tough team, right? That's 7 teams. Even with Jason Tatum, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, and, you know, they still got Anthony Simons coming off the bench. I still think, and they're well coached, they're still going to be a tough team. I still see them as being a team that's going to compete for a top 6 seed in the East, right? So those are teams that I think are definitely going to be, you know, they're going to be competing for those top 6 seeds. But then you have the teams that are going to be all competing kind of around that area. I think Indiana's still going to try to be a playoff team, but we'll see. Miami, they're always going to be right there competing as well. Toronto's probably going to take a step up next year also, right? And Philly. We don't know what Philly's going to be, but they've made some really good. If Philly's had a quietly good offseason, if Joel Embiid and Paul George actually stay healthy, they're definitely going to be one of those teams. So it's still going to be a lot of parity in the Eastern Conference, but we'll see where the Bulls shake out with all that. We'll see where they shake out with that. But all right, let's get into the next one, man. This next one's from Danko.
Yo, what's the deal, Hayes? So just had a thought, right? Now, we all love Kobe, we all love Ayo. But let's focus on Ayo for a second, right? So Ayo is a guard / wing. He's lengthy. I wouldn't say he is exactly the big, you know what I mean? But he's lengthy. Got some length to him, long arms. And he plays good defense. So he got a decent three-pointer, you know what I mean? Like, you can almost depend. You know, I would go as far as to say you can depend on Ayo's three-point because he don't take stupid three-point shots. You rarely catch him when he checks. Like, his shots that he take from the three usually good shots in transition or a good catch and shoot three. So he got to rely with three-pointers. Now, we just drafted Noah Singer. Is that Ayo's replacement for the long term? Because, like, if Ayo is a defender and a shooter that we can depend on, we look for him to run that second unit. Outside of running the second unit, the thing is, essentially, he's going to do all of that. But damn near a 7-footer. So, like, maybe I'm on the wrong page with this, but, like, is Essien-Gye Ayo's long-term replacement, but just, like, in a bigger way. That gives Kobe more room. That gives Giddey more room. I guess it gives Trey Jones more room, you know what I mean, just for moving one point guard, but having somebody who has a similar skill set, but much bigger. Like, I feel like I might be on to some of this. Maybe I'm grasping that straw like the rest of the Bulls fit, but you let me know, man. All right, my boy, you have a good one.
Okay. Noah Essien-Gye, Ayo Dosunmu replacement. Not only do I think you're not on to anything, I think you may be a little high. Noah Essien-Gye, who projects long-term to be a power forward, maybe even a small ball center, you never know, with his height, his length, and his jumping ability. Yes, he is a really good defender, and I think he is going to be a player that can guard 2 or 3 positions. And I think that I don't think that's an Ayo Dosunmu replacement yet. Ayo plays 1 through 3. Noah Essien-Gye is going to play 3 through 5. And I think in a perfect world, you want 2 of those players on your team. You want both of those players on your team. So I don't know if Noah Essien-Gye is an Ayo Dosunmu replacement. You know, he may be a Patrick Williams replacement. You know, and Isaac Okoro, maybe you could say that may be an Ayo Dosunmu replacement if they feel like they can't re-sign him. But I still rather have Ayo in that case, right? So, you know, I get where you're getting at there. I get where your thought process is coming from. I just don't know if that's going to be what we see. And I know Noah Essien-Gye is listed as a small forward. And Modest, I think, is still going to play power forward now, mainly because Noah isn't going to start. But I think when this thing all shakes out, you may see, especially if Modest is able to start converting more of those threes, Modest being the 3 and Noah being the long-term 4. But initially, it's going to be like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant played, what, shooting guard his first 2 years in the league? First couple years in Noah's career, you're probably going to see a lot of 3. But he's still going to play 3-4, right? And then it may, as he puts on weight and things like that, it may go from 3-4 to 4-5, I think is maybe what you may see there. So we'll see what happens there. But great voicemail, Danko. I got to you know, you've been here for a while. I got to throw a little fun at you. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Todd.
Yo, what up, Hayes? It's Todd, man. All right, I might get cooked for this, but I just spent the last 2.5 hours going down a Wooga Poplar rabbit hole, considering we got him signed to an Exhibit 10 contract. Now, I thought I remembered him because I live in Brooklyn, and I watched a lot of St. John's this season. And I did, because this dude cooked us, well, them, when we had our little, like, 9 or 10 game winning streak going. And he also cooked UConn. And we got him signed. And I'm like, okay, this dude went unsigned. Why? So then I started looking into why he wasn't, you know, even a second-round pick. And I just don't get it. 6'5", without shoes, 6'6", in shoes. Every season he's played now, obviously he's 22, but hell, we went crazy for Cedric Coward and he's older. And Poplar has all the tools, like essentially a 39% free, 3-pointer shot on volume, 5 shots at least a game, 85% from free throw and like 50% from two. What am I missing? Defensively, he's stout. He's not like a stopper. He's not, you know, he's not a defensive, like, you know, savant, but he's definitely, the games I watch, 3 steals apiece. I'm trying to understand, what are we missing here? And more so for you, what do we have to do to get this kid actually seen by obviously the powers that be and give him a shot? Cause I think he's got some skills that we need. The guy can shoot his ass off and drive, and he's, you know, finishes at the rim. I see him at every lane. I mean, every level of the court. So where are we going with this? So my point is, what do you think about him? Am I just blowing smoke, or is this potentially something here strictly because we got him on this Exhibit 10? What do you think? Later.
Listen, Wooga Poplar seems to be an absolute steal as an undrafted. To your point, when we signed him as a UDFA and I went and started doing my research, I couldn't come up with any reasons why, at minimum, he wasn't drafted in the second round. You're looking at a player that, yeah, his first 2 years in Miami, it was nothing to sing home about. But his last 2 years in college basketball, one in Miami, one in Villanova, 13 points per game on 42% shooting from the field, 38% shooting from three-point range, and it wasn't like it was low volume. He was taking almost 6 of them per game in his junior year. Then you look at his senior year, 15 points per game, 46% shooting from the field, 38% shooting from three, again, taking another 5 3-pointers per game. This is a guy that, and then the rebounds, 7 rebounds per game as a guard, doesn't really turn the ball over, get you over a steal per game. Wooga, being an undrafted free agent, seems like a steal. Now, usually there is a reason why a player falls, and I went to look at the athleticism, and then I saw that the dude actually is crazy athletic. So what kept him from being at least a second-round pick? I have no idea, bro. I have no idea. And if the Bulls got a steal here, right, and people talking about, like, in the last voicemail, IO replacement, maybe Wooga's that IO replacement. Like, maybe the Bulls are, like, and AK said this for years, that they actually want to use the G League team to actually develop players for the Bulls, meaning that maybe not stars, but maybe your next crop of role players, right? Maybe your guys that are coming off the bench. Wooga is a guy that I tell you right now that looks like he could help. And I am really excited to see what he does in the G League. I would not be surprised if we're talking about this guy getting NBA minutes sometimes within the next couple of years. The biggest problem is he's at the Bulls' deepest position, and that's guard. But I think with how many free agents the Bulls have coming up in guard, that's why you see them take a shot at a guy like Wooga. And we'll see how he works out. But if you watch this kid's tape, it does not sound or does not feel like he should have been undrafted. And so maybe the Bulls quietly did something good again there. We shall see. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? This is Shay. Look, I don't know why a lot of people are so shocked that we barely did anything in free agency right now. Because AK already told us that he's looking towards the 2026 free agent market. So he already let us know. He's not doing much of shit this offseason. Look, partner. I don't know what else he's cooking up, but I just hope that it's not a trade for Kobe or Ayo. But for all y'all wondering why we didn't do nothing this off season besides signing Trey Jones and maybe re-sign Josh Giddey. AK did tell us that beforehand that he ain't doing much shit besides maybe, you know, retooling a little bit. Anyway, hey, tell me what you think. Peace.
Listen, F what AK said. I told y'all since last year after the trade deadline, the Bulls are only going to have one open roster spot this offseason, so do not expect a crazy busy offseason unless we make crazy trades. I said it. I've been saying it for like 6 months or more at this point, right? So like, yeah, you're right. The Bulls didn't have it because we didn't have the open roster spots. B, they're maintaining the flexibility in the summer of 2026. They don't want to take on big contracts that really affect their cap space going into that point of time. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do. Again, it gives you another year to really evaluate this roster and then come up with your determination on how in you want to go with what you have here in your core. And, you know, that's smart. We shall see what they come of it. Are they going to make a smart decision out of this? That's the question there. And that's what remains to be seen, Shay. Great voicemail. Let's get into the last one, man. This one's from Corn.
What's the word, King Drip? It's your brother Corn, man. Happy for it. Happy 4th of July, and let me start off by saying my apologies about the background. You know, I was just trying to show, you know, but like I said, my apologies won't happen again, brother. You're right. I will have etiquette when it comes to that etiquette. Etiquette. Right. Yeah, I believe that's right. Okay. Modest Porcellus. And let me start off with saying this. Happy 4th of July, C-Red Nation. Please be safe. Chicago, be safe. All C-Red Nation from Australia, from where I'm at in Vegas to Arizona, wherever you at. If you're a Chicago Bulls fan, have a great and safe 4th of July. By your brother, Corn. Alright. Modest Porcellus, please come front and center. We need to have a conversation, young fella. Hey, man. The future is so bright with him. I believe, and I stand with Pat. I believe within this year or next year, he will be the face of the franchise. He got it, man. It's not just because he a hometown kid. I knew it when we was at that draft when he fell to us and everything and just his mind makeup is just that's what really make me appeal to him. That I know that he wants to be great. That's all I want to see out. All the players, actually, but with him specifically, he just got that, what I would like to say, and what we would all say, that Mamba mentality, that thirst, just that he just want to be great. He want to be better than everybody else. He want to be that. Come on, man. Second year, he's already giving tours and everybody, man. He's already doing that, man. He's already establishing himself as a young leader, as a future young vet, right? So, Miles Buzelis, I believe, will be, and that to me is already the face of this franchise. Shout out to Kobe White. Hey, man, have a safe 4th, my brother. Love you like always, man. Appreciate you.
Listen, I hear you and Pat, and I'm more analytical. I get the feels, I get all that, and Modest Porzingis has the personality to definitely be the face of a franchise. But 36% shooting, 45% shooting from the field, taking only 6 shots per game, that's not face of the franchise. Now, I do think that he's going to take an uptick next year. I think Modest is definitely going to probably go from that to taking about 12 or 13 shots per game next season, and I love that for him, right? How he does in that, how he grows, and he already looks like he's more ready defensively for this upcoming year. Love to see that. That's going to be a big determining factor. Modest has potential to be the face of the team, but I'm not ready to crown him yet. I'm not ready for that yet. He has a lot more that he has to show before I'm ready to say that, and he has to be more than just at the three-point line and at the rim for him. He has to dribble more. He has to get more to the mid-range. He has to create his own shots. 80% of his shots were assisted last year. You got to create your own a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying that's all on him. That's also how Billy Donovan used him. But you got to be better than that if you want to be the face of the franchise. Does Modest have the potential? Yes. Does he have the personality? Yes, absolutely. He's got to show it before I'm ready to crown him. But I hope that, you know, maybe this time next year I'm more in line with what you guys, and I'm all on the Modest is the face of the franchise thing. So we shall see what happens there, brother. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.